Our government.
Healthcare.
Your government.
The economy.
Bailout.
Global financial recession.
Transportation.
Agenda.
Agenda.
The work that needs to be done. What's going on? What's going on?
What's going on? What's going on? Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here with Celeste Headley. Want to remind you of the top stories this morning. First, of course, there are now deadly wildfires in California.
Absolutely, which sets them apart from those we've heard about before this.
And former Vice President Richard Cheney speaks on Fox News and has a whole list of complaints for the Obama administration. That's going to be ricocheting around the blogosphere today, that's for sure. When Cheney talks, people listen, definitely. And Marcus Mabry is here, of course, international business editor for the New York Times. Let's talk about the agenda. Let me just ask you right off the top, does Cheney's interview get traction this week in Washington, or is it a one-day story?
I think it's a one-day story for the most part. It's interesting to see if the Republicans in the Senate in particular continue with the drumbeat, though, and saying that this is going to make Americans less safe by making the CIA operatives less confident in how they do their job. And that's what they started doing the Sunday talk shows.
There's a huge morale problem over at the CIA, and at the very least, Cheney is correct about pointing that out. But here's another morale problem.
Despite the passing of your friend, is there any chance that a bill with a public option is going to pass the United States Senate?
I really don't think so, but let me tell you. You're talking about 1/6 of the American economy, and a lot of people don't seem to realize that. And you're talking about having the federal government take control of health care.
The other morale question, of course, is on health care. Lawmakers come back to Washington, some of them. And the question is your newspaper, Marcus Mabry, suggests a simple majority is really the only path for the Democrats to take here. They no longer have 60 votes in the Senate. They've got to go simple majority to get any kind of health care reform bill passed.
Well, for sure. If they want certainly the public option, meaning if they want actually a government option where you can actually say you'll take a government insurance plan, as it were, there's no way they could get anywhere close to 60 without the senator from Massachusetts. And without, frankly, the two independents who vote with them, especially Senator Lieberman from Connecticut, on board with a public option. So that seems impossible. On the other hand, there are risks with going with the budget reconciliation process, which is what that simple
majority
That's
the technical issue that avoids exactly. the 60-vote cloture.
Exactly. Right. You're talking about a massive overhaul, change of government policy, one of the largest in history, and doing a simple majority vote will open you up to lots of political challenges next year from the Republicans, saying this is a Democratic health care plan. There is still a chance that they will hope for, it really might come down to, I think, to watch this week, three senators. Ben Nelson, the Democrat who's been wavering from Nebraska, and then the two senators from Maine, Collins and Snow. They could be Republican votes who could help them have a 60% overhaul, a 60-vote overhaul, if they could get, again, without the public option, but if they could get, more three-quarters of a loaf toward the goal of lowering health care costs and ensuring more Americans. Those are the two goals they have. So that's going to be interesting to watch. Watch those three senators this week.
As it's the last day of August, which means that this Friday we'll be looking at new unemployment numbers. But what other economic numbers are you focused on this week, Marcus?
Well, this is going to be a huge week for numbers. As you know, John, we've been on this kind of knife's edge of a recovery. It looks like we've reached the bottom. Most indicators seem to show that. We had more good news last week. This week we'll have more numbers coming out. Pending home sales will be for July. Will come out tomorrow. We'll get some sense on Thursday. We'll have retailers report their same store sales for August, which probably won't be a bright spot. And then the most important number of all, on Friday, the all-important unemployment number for August. This is the monthly number we watch to see up or down how many hundreds of thousands of Americans more lost their jobs. And as that number moderates and eventually reverses, that's when you have some hope that not only is a bottom reach, but a recovery could start, because you're not going to have a sustained recovery until fewer Americans are losing work.
Perhaps the biggest number in the global economy is the extraordinary defeat of the LDP, the ruling party that's ruled Japan for more than a half century. Total setback. The opposition Democrats are now in power. The LDP is a shadow of its former self. What are people in the global financial markets looking at in Japan?
Well, it's a huge question mark, because the Democratic Party has never ruled Japan before. The LDP was the largest post-war party. That was the party that the U.S. effectively in the 50s, when the United States was concerned at the height of the Cold War, with the Socialist Party in Japan gaining power, that Washington had a huge hand in meddling in domestic politics. Again, the LDP created it in the first place. So Democratic Party, the question is, number one, will most of their legislators, most of their cabinet members excuse me, well, most of our cabinet members haven't
really broken up about
together.
This here. Yeah.
The question is going to be, will they have enough experience to govern and keep their country together? It is suffering a massive economic malaise. But secondly, it's going to be, will their rhetoric, which has been fairly sometimes anti-reform, anti-economic reform, saying that the reforms that the U.S. thought never went far enough in Japan actually went too far and created a Japan today where you have worker insecurity, which didn't exist, you know, just a decade ago.
Well, let's bring in our other voice on the agenda here, Rob Watson, BBC defense correspondent. The yen is rising on the political changeover in Japan, but I'm wondering if this is a shakeup in the East Asian sort of whole security matrix at this point, Rob.
Well, good morning, John, and good morning, everyone. I'm not so sure about that, really. The Democratic Party has talked about redefining its relationship with the United States, being more assertive, and redefining the rest of its relationships with its Asian partners, in part trying to get over some of the long-standing hostility dating back, of course, to the Second World War. But I'm not really sure that once in office there's going to be a major change in status, and I'm fairly certain that Washington will remain Tokyo's closest ally.
Well, I'm fairly certain that the report by General McChrystal, the commander in Afghanistan, is going to be something of a bombshell when it's finally made official, perhaps as soon as this week. But the BBC is already reporting it. It appears that General McChrystal, according to BBC sources, is highly critical of the current strategy, the strategy that apparently he is implementing. Rob, what's going on here?
Well, I guess the way I'd put it is it's yet another in a series of bombshells, because if you think about it, President Obama himself earlier in the year said the NATO alliance is losing in Afghanistan, or at the very least it's not winning. So I don't think this is going to come as a great surprise. But look, it's come from the man who is in overall command of all the international troops on the ground. And as we understand it at the BBC, he's saying the current strategy isn't working, and that what we need to do, what the international community needs to do in Afghanistan, is to focus more on protecting ordinary Afghans. I should say one thing at this point, that his report strikes me more as evolution than revolution, because for months and months and months now, all the military commanders that I've been speaking to and the diplomats have been saying that NATO is losing. And for months and months and months, people have been saying the real problem is the Afghan government and the need to get talks going with the insurgents.
So does this report call for more troops? That's really the million-dollar question, right?
I knew you were going to ask that. This is deferred until another time. I think there's going to be a separate report on how you resource the suggestions that General McChrystal has had, and indeed has already had in place for some time. But I'd be fairly confident in saying that commanders on the ground, and I presume that includes General McChrystal, do think that in the short term, at least, in order to regain momentum, that more troops will need to be sent. And I think that is the key thing. This is what General McChrystal is worried about, this issue of momentum. Because when you're fighting a counterinsurgency, it's something that everybody involved in it can kind of feel. Which is the side that's winning? Who are the guys who are up? And at the moment, there is a very clear sense that it is the Taliban and other insurgent groups that are up, and NATO and the US that are down. And I think General McChrystal is acutely aware that a big effort is needed in the short term to turn things around tactically, to get more international resources on the ground, so as you can at least get the momentum the other way, and then the Obama administration can turn to Congress, turn to the American people, and the same, of course, for other NATO governments, turn to their people and say, look, things have been pretty bad the last year and a half, but we're getting things right now. It's not Belgium there. It's not France. It's not going to be a member of the EU anytime soon, but at least we're heading in the right direction. But there is this sense of urgency, which I think will be in the report, saying we got to do this stuff.
All right. Rob Watson, BBC defense correspondent. Hold there for just a second. Marcus Mabry, I don't necessarily have a life-size picture of Barack Obama saying this is not Belgium to the American people. I don't know if that's going to play. But does McChrystal's criticism make Barack Obama more politically vulnerable in the United States quickly?
Well, you know, I don't think so. I think actually, excuse me, I think actually the fact that Stan McChrystal, and I know him personally from our time together at the Council on Foreign Relations as fellows, Barack Obama's the guy who brought him in. And so actually I think Stan, speaking very honestly, and he's the kind of soldier who always speaks truth to power, it's going to be a good thing in the long run for the Obama administration.
All right, for both of you, Rob and Marcus, this kidnapping story last week that sort of blew up in California, an 11-year-old abducted apparently and held prisoner for 18 years. How do you talk to young people about that? Rob, my kids are starting to ask about this, and it's very disturbing to me. We're asking all of our listeners, how do you talk to young kids about a story like this quickly?
Well, my children are 3 and 5.
Oh,
and
you're
so
lucky.
I've ducked this one so far. If they were any older, what would I say? I have no idea. You know, I'd probably say I'd leave it to my wife to do it.
All right, Rob Watson, BBC defense correspondent, a man of courage right there. Marcus?
My partner and I are 3 months away from our twins.
So you got to think about it.
It's going to be all about giving them a sense of security.
Tell us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE. That's the agenda.